Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to the saints to draw upon their wisdom so that we can navigate the tumult of this difficult life. And today we're going to continue to talk a little bit deeper on the wisdom of St. John Paul II and his perspective on our design and how our design reveals God's mind, God's intent, God's methods. Mm-hmm. And why does that matter? Because when we understand that, we then live in alignment with those truths and that reality. And when we do that, it means we draw more deeply to union with one another, and we draw more deeply to union with God.
Yeah, we become who we're called to be.
We become who we're called to be. So right. we are
divinized in that.
Divinized in that. And what that means, if you've never heard the word, it means that we're sharers. And this is a direct quote from scripture, sharers in the divine nature. It doesn't mean we become God, but it means we participate in the divine nature, and by doing so, elevate our humanity to its highest order, highest intended design.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to start with, it's interesting, you know, the Lord's always kind of preparing little paths forward as we go through this work. It's so beautiful. And if we're all attentive enough, whatever we're going through, the Lord's teaching us, he's showing us, and he's ever present. And so in this third part of this writing on givenness by St. John Paul II, he talks about this special partiality that God has for us, for his children. And I don't mean just Christians. I mean his creation of humanity, the human person. He created for 7 days, and the eighth day he rested. And each day he was creating something new, the birds, the ocean, the water, the sky, all the beasts of the earth, you know, even giving them to Adam in order to name them. And he declared all of them good over and over again. Good, you know, this is good, right? But when he created Adam, he said, this is very good. It's a predilection. Hopefully I'm saying that right.
Predilection, yeah.
Predilection, right. Predilection for the human person as he's created them. He sees something extra special. There's something beyond the others that has a special place in God's heart. So I was thinking about this, and I just came off of silent retreat and was praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I'm walking through the woods. I'm looking at all of God's creation. It's beautiful. I was at St. Joseph's Seminary in New York, and incredible grounds. Like, wow, their grounds are incredible. And all of creation on display, these huge, probably 100-year-old oak trees and such. And as I'm praying it, I had the desire to ask for the grace to see as God sees. Lord, I want to see as you see. I don't want to see through my broken lenses. I don't want to see through my wounds and you know, my imperfections. I want to see as you see. Help me to do that. So, and I'll try to kind of cut to the, you know, the beauty of this moment. The next day I received a little text, a little video of my daughter, my granddaughter. She's an opera singer.
Whose daughter?
Our daughter, mm-hmm. Sorry, our daughter. She's an opera singer. She's my creative. Actually, I have two creatives, but she's the bigger creative. And everybody, you know, if anybody knows about that, it's this, you know, they live to create whatever it is, right? And I see it all around her in the way she decorates, the way she dresses, the way she lives her life. She likes to go outside of the box, but not too far, which she falls out. So anyway, she sends me this video of her and her husband in a production up in Nashville in a rehearsal of The Little Mermaid.
Stage play.
It's a musical.
Musical.
It's a musical. It'll be very, you know, beautiful. But they're going all out. You know, they've got, I don't know how many dancers on stage. Everybody's singing. My son-in-law's, you know, Sebastian the Crab. That's, you know, it's a huge thing, right? But when I watched it, and I watched it outside of prayer, I made sure I was, you know, doing something mundane when I took a look at it. All I could see for a moment, the Lord let me see his children, all of his children at play, dancing, singing, in joy, in delight, all of their creativity on display. For what purpose? To bring joy to others. Mm-hmm. You know? And I thought, this is good, right? This is good. It's going to bring delight. It's not worship of God, but it glorifies God in that they're using their gifts for something good, right? So this goes back, you know, why does that matter to me? It's because she's my daughter. Somebody else will look at that and they won't see what I see. They won't be moved to tears of the beauty of the moment or the freedom of what I saw or the Lord allowed me to see that she's our daughter. But that's because she has a special place in my heart, predilection, right? And that's what we have in the mind of God.
Above all the other creatures.
Right.
There's, it's interesting because John Paul II uses a Latin phrase, amor complacentiae, mm-hmm. amor complacentiae, which means essentially he loves to delight. You know, so he even though it's dispassionate, meaning he's not attached, but he, when he looks at us, he loves to delight in mm-hmm. us. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like a parent, a properly ordered parent.
Right.
Looking at you were looking at our daughter full grown and everything. I think it's easier to conceive of like a little baby as they're doing their first, you know, creative acts or learning something. Mm-hmm. And we love to watch them. We love to see, you know, we're always wanting to see the next word. We have two little ones on the property right now at the retreat center. And we're always looking to see what's the next word. And then we had a visitor, a little beautiful visitor yesterday and day before. What's the next word that will come from them? Mm-hmm. We're delighted to see them becoming.
And it brings us immense joy.
Yeah.
You know, whether there are babies or not.
Yeah.
It brings us immense joy. So the Lord sees that in us through his creation, but then he also creates that between man and woman. Mm-hmm. Yes, it comes through motherhood, because that's kind of the ultimate part of creation, because we're driven as man and woman to come together and then to participate in this creative act of bringing forth life. But he creates it in order to bring us together between man and woman, right? Because when Adam sees Eve for the first time, oh, wow, this is finally flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. There's something that he sees and he's drawn to her beauty and her creation. It moves in him and strikes his heart in a way that none of the other animals of creation could. It wasn't possible. It was only when he was given Eve as a gift to himself that connection was made. That movement was made.
And I want to just highlight something you said, or maybe you're trying to say, that's really important. He puts in us that same disposition to desire to delight in the other. Mm-hmm. The desire to delight in the other.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. When Adam saw Eve, he had that same desire to delight as God does in us.
Right.
I mean, not exactly the same, but you know, he's deity, we're human, but similar.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's in that beautiful act of predilection that he puts in his heart. It's such a, I like amor complacencia mm-hmm. better, because that sounds more romantic, right?
Yeah, right.
But in putting that in their hearts, or in man and woman, and moving in that so mm-hmm. that they're drawn together, they come together and they are able to be vulnerable. They are able to be one in flesh.
And naked without shame is a really is a,
right. A That's phrase. Where I was going.
That's a yeah. phrase that is always like, you know, there are things in scripture that just grab you and don't let go.
Yeah.
And that one, because for me, that's a huge issue. It was a huge issue.
Yeah.
And you, that you helped heal in me mm. was being, and I'm not necessarily speaking physically, but that's a part of it. But being fully laid bare mm-hmm. and all of my brokenness and all of my, you know, good as well, but just, but with all of it mm-hmm. and being loved yeah. anyway.
To be able to be seen.
And to be safe.
Yeah. To know that you're seen, you know, because it's tremendous for me. I'm still working through those wounds.
Right.
You know, yeah. the desire to be seen, the desire to be loved, the desire to be accepted, the desire to be heard, in all of who I am, which in essence is naked without shame, and to that, say, this is all of who I am, and I don't have to change and be somebody else in order for you to love me.
And that's really only ultimately fulfilled in God, in right. its perfection.
Right.
And that's one of the hard things about marriage, I think, is we want it as far as we can find it in the other. Mm-hmm. But if we look to the other to fulfill that ache,
it's going to break our hearts.
And we'll always be disappointed in right. the other, because I can't do that perfectly for you, and you mm-hmm. can't do it perfectly for me.
Right.
In the end, I have to be seen by God. I have to be known. And that's the highest order of reality anyway. Mm-hmm. And to a degree, marriage leads us to that. I think, you know, we're drifting closely to a break, but I think it might be helpful to do after the break is talk about what gets in the way of that. We've already revealed one, which is not having proper expectation that your peace and your hope and your faith, hope, and love, all of those other good things must be first found in God. Mm-hmm. And that must be the primary well that we seek to draw from.
Yeah. To undo the lie that our peace, faith, hope, and love rests in the behaviors and actions and virtues or lack of virtues in our spouse.
Right. Because if you believe that lie, then you spend your whole time. So it's funny because it is our design to seek those things. Mm-hmm. But if it's disordered, then you spend all your time trying to get it from the other by controlling them.
Right. Your whole life.
Right.
You can, in essence, spend your whole life trying to find your worth, your dignity, your value in the other person. And it's not possible. It's not possible. It can only come from God first.
Now you can, and not to be redundant, but I do think it's important to say, you can help. You've been a huge help to me in that respect, breaking down some of my humanity, you know, mm-hmm. broken humanness. But in the end, still, you can't solve it all for me.
Yeah.
I have to be naked and ashamed because that's who I am before God. You can't make me. You can help me. But you can't solve it for me. So we're going to head into the break. When we get back, we're going to talk about other things, and then we'll get to beauty. But other things that tend to keep us stuck in a disordered pursuit of fulfillment.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Hey, friends. One of my favorite professors at the Avila Institute, Dr. Michael Gamma, has a new course that is really, really important because it deals with all of the crazy stuff going on out there. I just listened to a lecture where a supposed nun was talking about how AI mixing with humanity can help bring about humanity 2.0. He's going to talk about transhumanism, radical feminism, transsexualism, UFOs, you know, and really just getting a rational disentanglement of all that insanity. And of course, presenting what it means to be authentically Catholic in this context. So the title of the course is Being Truly Human in an Age of Techno-Spirituality. It's a brand new course at the Avil Institute. September 9th is when you need to apply by. It'll be on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Dr. Michael Gamma, avila-institute.org. Stan and Stephanie Burke, welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. And we're talking about our design, our ultimate fulfillment, ultimate peace, ultimate, I want to go back to that phrase that just, it's one of those haunting phrases, naked without shame, experiencing the delight of God to the greatest degree possible frees us up to experience the delight of others or delighting in others, instead of seeing them as an enemy or a problem. But what is it in your mind through our work with marriage ministry that you think obscures this beautiful reality or gets people off track? We've already talked about the one of bad expecting your spouse to fulfill you.
The answer is wounds.
Right.
It's huge. And I'm going to give a very transparent, very vulnerable example.
Okay.
This. Okay. Spoiler alert, you and I hurt each other.
We have an imperfect marriage.
It's pretty perfect, but we have our moments, right? And God be praised. You know, having just crossed over the 18-year mark, married on 7/7 of 07.
Still the best decision in my life after following the Lord.
Yeah, mine too. So even through all of that, you know, and we've come through so very much, the Lord allows moments where he says, I want to do some more heart surgery.
Right.
There's something in my way. I want to make more room for my grace, more room for my love and my mercy so that I can fill you up so that then you can continue to pour yourself out for your spouse, to me as your Lord first, to your spouse, to those that are entrusted to you, your children, those that you serve in the ministry. You know, this beautiful idea of entrustment that St. John Paul II has told us is that, you know, the Lord brings people to us and says, this, I've given this person to you. Sometimes it's for a moment. Sometimes it's an hour, it's a week. Sometimes it's for a season. Sometimes it's for a lifetime. But the people that we cross paths with are given to us in order for us to love and serve them and to be loved and served by them. So it's this exchange, you know, in this act of openness, right? And vulnerability. Years ago, before we met, over the course of my life, beginning with my biological father, I have been hurt innumerable times by men in my life. It was interesting, but one day, in a moment of imprudence between the two of us, you shared something that hurt me. You were struggling at the moment and it hurt. Prudence and discernment's very important, but the Lord allows or causes all things in that moment. He let it happen. Why? To bring about a greater good. And I know that. And I knew it when it hit, because it did feel like a blow, and it went deep. As I started to reflect on it, he poured out in me memories, my father, this person. And then there was this moment of this memory of somebody saying to me, you are nothing.
Which I didn't say.
No. It was somebody in my history.
Yeah.
You are nothing. Nothing that you say, nothing that you do, nothing about you is of any value. You are nothing. Not nothing to me. Nothing.
Yeah. Pretty brutal.
It was horrific, right? Well, when that all poured together, you can imagine the strike,
the emotion,
the emotion, the tears, the pain. We talk about a well of pain. Through that moment of imprudence between you and I in conflict, that hit a well of pain in me that the Lord needed to get at. So he allowed it in order to get at that well of pain, because he needed me to be brought to my knees so that I would turn to him in my pain, and he would pour that out and say, look, that's there. It's in my way. Give it to me.
Hmm. And then you're heading into retreat at the same time.
And then I was heading the next day or a day after that into a silent retreat. And so as he dug into that spot, and I would go into silent prayer over and over and over again to surrender that to him in vulnerability and in openness, was a huge task. I had to be very, very quiet. I had to be in prayer. I had to be alone. And I had to let him work. I had to rest. And it was indeed like heart surgery. And I told him, I said, cut deep. I don't want this. Because this, in essence, what it does to our marriage, if it's not healed and restored, if he doesn't get in there and take out the infection that's festering in that wound and cauterize it and fill it with his grace and his mercy and his love, then that wound continues to be an open place that can be used to hurt us.
Right.
To hurt our oneness, which leads to great fruit, not only for one another, but for the greater glory of God, for the kingdom through our ministries, right? Through this radio program, whatever it is, right? That, I think, is so often the case in married couples, is the wounds that haven't been dealt with and the lack of recognition that what's hurting us in our spouse is not just about our spouse. If we pay attention, it's about something much deeper. It goes back into our history. It can go to a wound from our father, a wound from our mother. It can be a wound from somebody in our life or a family member or a past relationship. And until that's healed, it continues to be a place that's raw and open and produces division and brokenness.
And it produces division and brokenness because it produces disorder and sin. And then what happens is an event comes along, like what happened. And basically it was, I had agreed to an important conversation with you. I had taken melatonin and it happened at a difficult time. And I was, and then I wasn't kind in my frustration over kind of the circumstance that I was part of creating, you know, that tapped into a well of pain that causes a reaction that isn't helpful to you or me. So I did something and then you did something. And then, you know, if we're not aware of what's happening, one or the other of us doesn't stop the cycle and it keeps going. Because you were aware of it, you stopped the cycle.
Yeah.
Right. And I also didn't, you know, pursue like a self-justification. There was context, but I wasn't self-justifying. I owned what I had done. Mm-hmm. But we're asking the question, what is it that inhibits our delight of one another in one another? And what is it that inhibits our delight or allowing God to delight in us and living in that freedom? Mm-hmm. And you said wounds and events or circumstances dip into those wounds. And depending on how big the well of pain is, the response or the reaction,
or the pain of just the pain. It doesn't even need a response or reaction.
Yeah, the pain, right? You feel,
the
on the pain meter, how high the pain meter is, how big the well of pain is and how unresolved that is.
Yeah. I think in a disordered way, you often see people be very reactive to that well of pain because they're not self-aware that it's hitting a well of pain.
Right.
And because I work in this constantly, at the moment it happened, I knew it had hit a well of pain.
But it did, you know, it's
but interesting. But I had to like stop.
Yeah.
Because I thought, oh, you know, it was just like it struck something.
And you went, oh, wow, this is big.
Yeah.
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 But in the end, I think what you've done, what I do, what we try to do is look up.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly what I did, because I knew that in that moment, I couldn't look to you
right.
to fix that for me.
Yeah.
I couldn't look to you. I couldn't grasp. I had to sit in the pain that you in and of yourself were insufficient to fix this in me.
Right.
You couldn't be my doctor.
Yeah, I couldn't. It doesn't matter how much I apologize, because that's not the real issue.
It's not. It was just the catalyst that he allowed.
Right.
And I mean, even the action of doing it speaks to a wound in you that has
sure.
that needs some self-reflection as well, right?
Sure.
Even how we react to others, you know, all of that. It's all so multifaceted. But in the end, I think the lack of self-awareness that we have wounds and not going to the Lord, which is what I did in this time, which many times I've been imperfect, but this time I have to say, I went to him.
That's great.
Praise be Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I went to him and he said, are you ready?
Mm.
And I said, my heart is ready, O Lord. My heart is ready. Cut deep. Because I knew it was there and I knew it needed his surgery. And I begged him to cut deep in order to get that out of me.
Well, we're at the end of this show. So I just want to set the stage because we're going to do a follow-up on this. We're going to continue in this series. And we're going to move on to beauty and how beauty creates delight. We've touched on it a little bit at the beginning of this show, but how beauty creates a delight and how it can help drive us to intimacy.
Yeah.
And healing.
And glory. Well, until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about The Interior Life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.